Welcome to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Russ White. At 6 past 4 following news, Kirk Heinze broadcasts Greening of the Great Lakes from the 2016 Governor's Recycling Summit and Michigan Recycling Coalition Annual Conference.
Really, education, ease, efficient, and economically viable markets. You have to have all those. And the first really is education. People need to know what's recyclable, where to go to recycle, how to do it, etc. And it's a huge challenge. I think the future of recycling in Michigan is certainly moving in the right direction. We have a lot of work to do, but we're going to get there.
It's MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR, and we get started at 4:06. This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Kirk Heinze is broadcasting Greening of the Great Lakes from the Governor's Recycling Summit and Michigan Recycling Coalition Annual Conference.
Well, and what has become an annual event on Greening of the Great Lakes? Russ and I are on site at the Governor's Recycling Summit and Michigan Recycling Coalition Annual Conference this year at the lovely Inn of St. John's in Plymouth, Michigan. And we want to thank our gracious host and platinum sponsor, Chupin Recycling, and the Michigan Recycling Coalition. Over the next hour, we'll talk to several folks from the recycling industry and a representative from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, which is the overall grand sponsor of the gathering. Let's begin with good friend Tom Emmerich. Tom is the COO of Chupin & Sons and president of Chupin Recycling, Michigan's largest recycler of used beverage containers. Tom, another great gathering this year.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. People are going to get sick of hearing from me.
Well, I don't think so. People don't get sick of hearing. We get a lot of questions about recycling, and you folks have been strong sponsors of the MRC and this thing for a long time, Tom. Why the strong support? What's the importance of this gathering?
There's lots of importance on many fronts. First, I would say, much like our employees that are very, very passionate about the recycling industry and doing what we do every day, the MRC and the players in Michigan that are involved in the recycling industry are very passionate about what we do. So I think it's a great venue for us to get together, discuss the issues in the industry, and it's something that's very, very important for all of us to support. And certainly at Chupin, we care very, very deeply about the environment, about sustainability and doing the right thing, et cetera. So that's why we get involved.
The MRC has been going for quite a while, but this whole edition of the Governor's Recycling Summit, I believe this is the second year, that was a major breakthrough, wasn't it, in terms of state support for the recycling industry?
Between the DEQ and the governor's attention to recycling and the effort really 3 or 4 years ago to partner with industry to try to improve the situation in Michigan is a huge deal. And this conference has grown the last couple of years because of that and because of the governor's leadership and because of the DEQ's leadership.
Yeah, and it's I went back and reread the recycling plan of 2014, which I know had a lot of industry input, but there's some major goals there. I mean, it's no secret that Michigan has lagged behind in its recycling compared to some other Great Lakes states, and the goals are, I think, 30% to 35% to try and get up to par with states like Wisconsin and Minnesota.
That is certainly the goal. I think there's been some dispute over what our actual recycling rate is, which is why the first step that the Governor's Council put together was the metrics legislation that passed just a couple weeks ago, which is a huge step in the right direction for the overall industry. Before we start saying, hey, we need to do 35-45% recycling rate, we really need to know what is our current recycling rate. You know, there's this number that's been flashed out there, and there, you know, I'm not sure that I agree that our rate is only 15%. We might find out once we get through this process that it's closer to 20 or 25%, and the task may not be as daunting as what it sounds today.
Yeah, the first step in the plan would be to establish a baseline and take a look at the metrics, but then there's a major education and outreach component. A lot of folks out there, they want to recycle, but maybe they're not sure how to go about it.
Well, that's the issue, right? I mean, we talked to you. You're going to lay me into my four E's again, and I'm and maybe I shouldn't go there, but really, education, ease, efficient, and economically viable markets, you have to have all those. And the first really is education. People need to know what's recyclable, where to go to recycle, how to do it, et cetera. And it's a huge challenge, not just for industry, but, you know, it is something that I think the Michigan State government can help with.
Well, I can report some progress myself. I live outside of East Lansing, and starting in July, our waste carrier, in this case it's Granger, we have a bin now for single-stream recycling, which is a major breakthrough. A lot of us in the neighborhood have been bugging Granger for the last 2 or 3 years to get this moving, and now there's been a breakthrough. That's progress.
Yeah, it is, and I think we need to see more of that. And shoe pan recycling, you mentioned earlier that we're the largest beverage container recycler in the state of Michigan, and that's a result of the deposit law and our ability to work with the beverage industry and the retailers to put together a very efficient program. The second step to that is, you know, an effective, high-quality curbside programs, which is something I know that the state and the governor's council is working very hard towards achieving. It's a big task, but it's happening, like you just said, in your community, and, you know, one community at a time. You know, let's make it happen.
Tom, the last time you were on the show, we talked about some misconceptions about the recycling industry that are out there among some members of the public. But our listeners, I mean, what do they need to know about the health of the recycling industry and the future of the recycling industry, not just in Michigan, but across the United States?
Well, first, they need to know it's very important. And, you know, the recycling industry has come under attack a little bit, as we had talked the last time I was here. But I guess I'll go back to the whole education piece. Educate yourself on how to do it, where to do it. Recognize that it's important. There are resources out there. We have I used the word earlier. It's my favorite buzzword for this year's passion. This industry is incredibly passionate about doing the right thing and recycling and sustainability. And there's tons of information out there on, just Google it, and you can find out how you can do the right thing, whether it's in your community, your school, et cetera.
Tom, I want you to hang around. We're going to weave in a representative from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. I want to talk about a specific initiative where you're working with the DEQ and other agencies up in Flint, and where recycling is having a major impact on a major problem in the great state of Michigan. Well, Russ and I are at the Governor's Recycling Summit and Michigan Recycling Coalition Annual Conference down near Plymouth, Michigan. We've been talking with Tom Emmerich, who is the president of Shoe Pan Recycling. We've been talking about the importance of the recycling industry and Shoe Pan's support of this particular gathering. Joining us from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, which is the grand sponsor of this event, is Matt Flechter. Matt is the Recycling and Market Development Specialist for the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tom, let's go back to where we ended the first segment and talk a little bit about a very practical way that recycling is helping with a very serious problem here in Michigan, and that's the problem with Flint. Shoe Pan has been very active up in Flint. MDEQ has as well. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing up there.
Well, let's start by saying Shoe Pan and many others have been very active in trying to address some of the short-term concerns. With all the bottled water that's being donated to the city of Flint, that creates another issue, and that's what do you do with the empty containers. So we have been working with several folks, including the DEQ, who's been a great support of the effort, to try to capture as many of these containers on a short-term basis. I call it a short-term basis because we don't know how long it's going to last, right? So as long as people are donating bottles of water to Flint, we need to be doing whatever we can to collect the empty containers for recycling, and that's where our focus really is. Matt and his department, I know they're focused on a much bigger long-term picture, which we hope to bridge the gap between the short-term to the long-term, and then we'll kind of step away. As soon as you know, the need is not there and the donations stop, our hope is that there will be a bigger, better, more efficient curbside program and other recycling efforts in the city of Flint. I think Matt could probably speak to that a lot better than I could.
Yeah, Matt, let's talk a little bit from your perspective about the recycling efforts, but also some of the broader efforts at DEQ, because you will be a continuing presence in Flint, no doubt, for probably several months, if not years, to come.
Yes, Tom's right. This really is about the environment and the economy. There is another solid waste crisis that we're dealing with, making sure that the water bottles find their way to a recycling bin. And really what that's all about is creating opportunity for ensuring that that we use those commodities, those materials, and turn them into new products. The number of partners and people that are interested in making sure there is a solution to this problem has been phenomenal. The community partners making sure that the city and the county and everybody is engaged in finding a solution has been a really good opportunity to build community and connect with the economic development reasons why recycling is important.
Well, that's a nice segue into the governor's plan on recycling, which includes economic development, also includes education and outreach. And Tom and I have talked about this before, but despite all the crisis and the tragedy in Flint, there are opportunities. And what better opportunity to educate a community or to reach out to a community in terms of the importance of recycling?
Absolutely. The education and outreach is really important, and making sure that people understand why, how, and where to recycle. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing all across the state. Yesterday, I told a story at the Governor's Recycling Summit about the suit that I was wearing. And that suit was made from recycled plastic bottles. And so we are closing that loop. We are making sure that bottles collected at the curb are processed, turned into new products like car parts and suits, and having residents understand that they're part of that system and their individual actions really do result in positive things for our state. That drives behavior. That makes people feel part of the solution and understanding what role they play in making sure that wastes are no longer waste, but they're turned into resources.
Tom, this whole economic development, we mentioned it briefly, the governor's push for recycling in Michigan. I mean, that's got to be music to the ears of folks in the industry.
Yeah, I think so. I think that what started with Dan Wyant and the development of the governor's council was a great first step. You know, they've already got the legislation passed that we talked about earlier, which is a huge step in the right direction. And I'm very excited to see that continue with the new director, Cray. And I think the future of recycling in Michigan is certainly moving in the right direction. We have a lot of work to do, but we're going to get there.
We're talking recycling with Tom Emmerich, who is the president of Shoepan Recycling, and Matt Flechter, who is the recycling market development specialist for the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Matt, I spent some time on the website looking at recycling initiatives in the DEQ. I took the 101 course, actually learned a few things about recycling. I thought I knew quite a bit about recycling. That course, the grants program, some other initiatives where you're really putting some money behind this recycling effort.
Right, not just money, but a lot of effort and leadership, and that's what this is taking. To return Michigan to a leadership position in recycling, we need to recognize that we need to have education and outreach, technical assistance, we need to increase access, and we need to develop markets for recyclable materials. So that's where we're putting our effort. We're also putting a lot of effort in leading by example. We know it's state government. We have the obligation to make sure that we are doing the things that we were talking about in that 101 document that you saw on the website, making sure that there are recycling bins at rest areas and at state parks, and that we work on our contracts with in state office buildings to make sure that recycling is available. So we're spending a lot of time building partnerships, making sure that the systems are in place, we're leading by example, and then making sure that we're using those examples to provide technical assistance and outreach to communities and businesses to grow recycling in Michigan.
Now, I know the governor's plan has only been out since 2014. There are some pretty lofty goals by 2017. How are we coming on the metrics?
Right. So this measurement legislation is going to be a big help to track progress. I announced yesterday that we have been seeing some increases in recycling, and that really gets down to the real program growth that we're seeing. We're seeing more communities move from carts to from bins to those large carts, and we're seeing education campaigns starting to grow and seeing those public-private partnerships with the private sector to help to grow recycling at the local level that in the end results in all of those pieces adding up, turning into a doubling of the recycling rate.
Tom, what's the ripple effect or the lag time between this behavior, the changes in behavior and the increase in recycling, when you start to see it actually in terms of benefits to your business?
Like many businesses, we're volume driven. So the greater the recycling effort and the cleaner the material that we receive, pounds are very, very important. And it's a heavily intensive capital business that we're involved in. So the more material you have to process brings your overall cost down, and that's really, really important to us.
Matt, let's go back to the grant program, too. I mentioned it briefly, but some examples of what people are applying for, some of this innovation money, essentially, market development money.
Right. So this we've announced yesterday. Recently, we announced that the CART grants are helping communities to move from recycling bins to carts. And that is something that we're really happy about, because we're building a partnership with national organizations to provide technical outreach. And so it's not just about the money to buy a new cart. It's about getting those technical resources and those outreach tools to make sure that residents are understanding how to use that cart. And so I that's what I'm most proud of, is that we're able to bring in additional support from around the country. It's not going to other states. It's coming to Michigan now, because we have the leadership that we've needed for so long to move the recycling rate in a positive direction.
Well, when you come to a conference like this, I feel the same way every year. I get really excited about the recycling industry in Michigan and across the United States. And there's so many innovative things. I know there are a lot more things we could talk about, but unfortunately, we got to move on. But I want to thank Tom Emmerich, who's president of Shoepan Recycling, for being a guest on the program. He's a frequent guest on this program. And Matt Flechter, who is a recycling market development specialist for the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Thank you both for being on Greening of the Great Lakes.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to be here.
This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Kirk Heinze is broadcasting Greening of the Great Lakes from the Governor's Recycling Summit and Michigan Recycling Coalition Annual Conference.
Continuing our interviews at the Governor's Recycling Summit and the Michigan Recycling Coalition Annual Conference, we have with us Paul England. Paul is the General Manager for Midwest Recycling for Pratt Industries, and Pratt is a diamond sponsor of this particular event. Pratt is America's fifth largest corrugated packaging company and the world's largest privately held 100% recycled paper and packaging company. The world's largest. Paul, that's impressive. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. We're proud of a lot of things, being a part of the Michigan Recycling Coalition, a part of the industry, and really proud of the fact that we've taken a very high-level position on sustainability, being the only 100% recycled paper paper company in our industry.
Now, spend some time on your website. You folks have a lot of facilities all over the world, and you almost vertically, if not totally vertically integrated in terms of paper recycling. But tell us a little bit about the background of the company and its expansion in the United States.
Yeah, so we are a global company, $3 billion in sales. We have a dominant presence in the U.S. market. I think right now we're the fourth largest in North America. Specifically in the Midwest, we started a couple years ago when Pratt first brought me on to build the infrastructure to support our new investment, a $300 million investment in Valparaiso, Indiana, the newest paper technology and the newest paper mill in decades in our space. We're very proud of what we've done. The grand opening was last month, extraordinary event. We had people from all over the country come in and enjoyed a day of celebration.
Now, explain to our listeners who may not be familiar. I mean, you've got a paper mill, you recycle, you have all these different components. But from a supply chain standpoint, how does it work?
Yeah, so at our core, we're actually a corrugated packaging company. We make boxes. And in the Michigan market, we ship to all the key players. We supply boxes to the big three, to Home Depot, U.S. Postal Service. And the list goes on and on. And we have two world-class corrugated box plants in Michigan, in Grand Rapids and in the Detroit area. What we do, we are a vertically integrated company. So the recycled fiber division, my responsibility, is to source nearly 2 million tons a year of recycled paper to feed our paper mills. And we have four paper mills currently in the U.S. The newest one, again, is in Valparaiso, with expansion plans to grow our business even further increase our footprint in North America. So my job is to source the fiber for the mill. We ship a couple million tons a year into our paper mills. The mills create rolls of 100% recycled paper. We ship that to our converting operations. Our converting operation make boxes. I love to tell the story to our customers, and it's, you know, Ford is a great example. They're one of our customers here in the Michigan market. We ship them boxes on a Monday morning. We pick up their recyclables on Monday afternoon. We haul it back to our paper mill in Valparaiso. We make paper the next day. We can send it to our converting plants, make boxes on Wednesday, and the boxes show back up on their doorstep with their recovered material on Thursday. And that's that whole closed-the-loop model is extraordinary. And when customers are so forward-thinking, like Ford, AJM Packaging, Magna, Brosa, all these companies in the Michigan area, they're so forward-thinking, and they love that sustainability model.
Paul, you know, that's mind-blowing. Let's take this down to the individual household level. I do a lot of recycling. You often wonder when you put that corrugated cardboard in the bin, in this case at the Michigan State University Recycling Center, you've explained what happens if it goes to one of your mills. But how often can cardboard, for example, be recycled like that where you have that closed system that you were talking about? Sounds like it's indefinite.
Yeah, it nearly is indefinite. At some point in time, the fiber strength and the integrity of the fiber ultimately just kind of disintegrates and goes into the water, and it's organic, and it just decomposes, which is also a great story. But, you know, you mentioned the curbside recycling, and in the Pratt world, our what's called furnish, the material we use in our paper mills, is somewhat also uniquely different from the rest of the industry. There's corrugated boxes, you know, what you put on your curb. If you do any e-commerce shopping like we did around the holidays, most of what I bought for my family and friends came from an e-commerce, an Amazon or Groupon or wherever. So the dynamics of the curbside, the characterization of the material in the bins, has changed uniquely over the years. 10 years ago, if you looked in that bin, there was newspapers and there was mailings and there was magazines and there was some brown boxes in there. And today, at least in my bin at home, I don't have newspapers. The magazines have diminished significantly. A lot of junk mail still. But because we are doing a lot of purchasing via online methodology, what's in that bin on the curb is turned brown. And that's a dynamic in our industry that's changing.
My guest is Paul England. He's the general manager for Midwest Recycling for Pratt Industries. Paul, what has this done with respect to the balance between how much corrugated, how many corrugated boxes are being a result of a closed system or recycling, and how much is still being produced, sourced from a lumber stand, for example?
It's a great question. You know, the data is kind of all over the place. I will tell you that as an industry, we do just an okay job recovering the materials from the landfill. There's still a tremendous opportunity for improvement with landfill diversion. Every once in a while, I come across a generator, a customer of ours, that is still putting all of their recyclables in a trash compactor and sending it to the landfill. Great opportunities for process improvement, increased revenue. You know, the landfill diversion is always a great story, and it's just the right thing to do for the environment. So we're doing an okay job, much, much more work to do, and a lot of opportunity for us.
You mentioned the environment. I know throughout your website and your materials, sustainability is a core corporate value for Pratt. Talk a little bit about this overarching commitment to sustainability. I imagine you walk the talk in your various factories and plants as well.
We do. Our culture is steeped in sustainability. Anthony Pratt, our owner and founder of the company, is his number one goal. And we, whenever we present a value proposition to our customers, whether it's on the box size, selling them boxes, or on the recycling side, helping them to improve their sustainability efforts, we always lead with, this is our value proposition. We want to help you be more sustainable, and here's how we're going to do it.
And here's how we're going to do it within our own factories as well. And here's some recommendations that we have that may help you become more sustainable as well.
Absolutely. We walk the talk every day.
You know, you mentioned Ford. We've had Ford on this program, several representatives from a Ford Motor Company. But there's a corporation, there's a client of yours that is also totally committed to sustainability, from the CEO, from the Ford family right on down.
Yeah, they're a great partner for us, and they're one of our largest customers in the Detroit market from our Detroit corrugated box facility, and it's been a long-standing partnership. And again, when we have our monthly meetings with them, it leads with sustainability. How are we doing for them?
Paul, back to you're at this conference, the Michigan Recycling Coalition annual conference. For our listeners out there, I mean, what are some messages from Pratt that you would like to convey to our listeners with respect to getting more involved in recycling?
Yeah, another great question. So I got to go back a ways. I'm actually originally from the Detroit area. Now, that's been a while ago. But when I was growing up in the state of Michigan, I believe directionally there was around 40 paper mills. And you fast forward to today, and I think there's somewhat around 15 paper mills. And I was talking to an individual in the conference this morning, and he characterized the paper industry in Michigan as tired, meaning older assets, assets that may need some retooling, some reinvigoration. And wouldn't it be an amazing story if a company would invest in new technology with a paper mill in the state of Michigan? And I'll tell you why that's important. I'm sourcing thousands of tons every month of fiber in the Michigan market, and we're going to continue to do that. We have a vested interest in Michigan with our customers and our corrugated box plants. But we're exporting a couple thousand tons a month of materials from Michigan to run our Valparaiso paper mill. And there's thousands of tons that go to the paper mills that are left in the state of Michigan and thousands of tons that are going export. So one of the themes of this event is how do we find companies to invest in the state of Michigan? How do we bring more consumers of raw materials, the recycled materials, into the state of Michigan? And that's something I'm very passionate about. I would love to see more work, more initiatives done on just that. And it's all the commodities. You know, paper is what I do, right? That's my deal. But with plastics and with other commodities that are being recovered from the waste stream today, the great efforts of the folks in the state of Michigan, there's got to be ways to find converting opportunities and end users for this material.
Another great example of the interface between environmental sustainability and economic sustainability. I've been talking with Paul England. He's the general manager for Midwest Recycling for Pratt Industries. Pratt is America's fifth largest corrugated packaging company and the world's largest privately held 100% recycled paper and packaging companies. Paul, thanks so much for being a guest on Greening of the Great Lakes.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Kirk Heinz is broadcasting Greening of the Great Lakes from the Governor's Recycling Summit and Michigan Recycling Coalition annual conference.
Well, continuing our interviews from the Michigan Recycling Coalition, the 2016 Michigan Recycling Coalition in Plymouth, Michigan, my next guest is Marissa Segundo. She is a communications consultant for Ann Arbor-based RRS, which is a consulting firm. Marissa, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so recycling consulting, this is sort of a new area for me. Explain a little bit about what you do at RRS. How does this consulting work?
Sure. So this is not new for us because Resource Recycling Systems, or RRS, has been around for 30 years. Since 1986, we've been providing solutions and managing change in a constantly changing industry. So for recycling, solid waste management, organics recycling, zero waste management plans, and solid waste management plans. So we all have a lot of waste. And so whether you're on the public sector, private sector, whether you're a small municipality or a large corporation, or you're in the industrial sector, Resource Recycling Systems helps you to maximize your waste diversion efforts and ultimately save you money. And that's what we're looking for, is to get the stuff out of the landfill, to make sure we can recycle as much as possible. And if there's opportunities for reuse or to really do the best plan that's individualized for that particular company, organization, or institution.
Now, what do you find? And is it, we found doing interviews that sometimes you can go to a large corporation like a Steelcase in Michigan or a Ford, and you find they do have resources available. If they want to start a recycling program, they just do it. It's a little tougher sometimes in municipalities where sometimes it might not be in the budget or they think it's not in the budget. I mean, do you find this to be the case, that sometimes the private sector is leading when it comes to recycling?
Well, I think it really depends, because there are a lot of municipalities here in Michigan that are really making a difference in recycling because they're committed to it all the way, you know, from the bottom up, from the top down. And that really makes a difference. I know we've got this goal in Michigan to double the recycling rate, and everyone has to be on board with that. So whether you're a small municipality, we help you to open up the doors to figure out the resources that are a right fit for you. So we're not going to recommend something that's completely out of your budget. We'll look at the full system and provide solutions to make that happen.
Well, RRS, in terms of the work in Michigan, I know that you've been involved in some consulting work when it comes to the Recycle Michigan program.
Absolutely. So Recycle Michigan is a unifying idea. And it's everyone. It's where we all live. It's where we are connected to the commitment to recycling. And we need everyone. We need everyone on board. So whether you're a business or whether you're a recycling educator, we want you to embrace Recycle Michigan.
My guest is Marissa Segundo. She's a communications consultant for RRS, headquartered in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Marissa, you yourself are based out of Florida, although the company's headquartered. So I know you've got operations everywhere. But as you look around the country, let's take the focus beyond Michigan for a moment. What are some states that, or some examples of recycling efforts in municipalities that you think are maybe state of the art?
Everyone tends to look towards the West Coast. They're also doing a lot of really great things in Denver for their programs. But right here in Michigan, you know, Emmett County is making a lot of really great steps for recycling, and they're constantly looking for innovations for recycling. Washtenaw County is also going through their solid waste management plan, which is a huge aspect where we want to get input from people and really have the community be part of the plan.
Now, when you go in and make presentations to municipalities or to companies, I mean, let's take municipalities here for a moment. You mentioned Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm. You're always going to get the questions like, you know, maybe we want to get into this, but we don't think we've got the money to go full bore right out. So where typically, like a community like Emmett County, for example, I mean, where might they start if they don't feel that they can, that the budget is limited?
Right. Usually the first place to start is in the trash can. Find out what is going into your waste system and what can be taken out and what are the low-hanging fruit that we can really tackle and make an impact and then figure out what resources we have locally. And if someone else close to you is already doing that, see about doubling and doing community partnerships or, you know, they call that the hub and spoke model.
Do you find in general when you're looking for new clients or you're talking to prospective clients that there's any kind of a demographic that would suggest maybe there's a sort of a conception out there, maybe a misconception, that younger people will push recycling? We find that to be true. You do some work at universities. President Simon at Michigan State has said that a lot of the impetus for the Michigan State University Recycling Center came from the students. You're doing some work in Ann Arbor. Do you find this to be the case across the board, or is that sort of a misconception?
I think that there is truth to that because, and usually what it is that the younger population are more vocal with their support for recycling. But, you know, those who have been around for a little while are a little bit more used to that reuse model and let's conserve and let's not consume as much. And that shouldn't be discounted. I know recycling is a behavior change. And so depending on what your culture is in your own house or in your own community, you may have adopted that behavior change or you may need to still be taught. And that's where education for recycling is the most important thing that we can do. Throughout Michigan, we have a lot of different systems. Some people have adopted single stream where they're putting everything into one container, all the recyclables in one container. Some areas are still dual stream. So you've got your fibers in one and your containers in another. That's a different model. Some have bins, some have roll carts. So knowing that infrastructure is varied throughout the state is important, but the first basic step for a resident who wants to start this behavior change is to check with your municipality or your county, find out what the resources are available for them for recycling, and start recycling and recycling right. So figure out what's not supposed to go in there and don't put that in there and see if there's another way you can manage that either through reuse or even repurpose.
But convenience, we keep hearing convenience. Even though people may intellectually want to do things that are good for the environment and what have you, people are busy. So there has to be a convenience factor. There has to be an ease factor, I would think, before folks are going to be willing to make those behavioral changes.
I agree. And in 2016, recycling couldn't be easier. So whether you were either of those streams that I was talking about for managing your recycling, we've made it easy, but we still need to make it smart. And there's still rules for recycling. Plastic bags, for example, are not accepted in all communities because they get tangled in the materials processing machinery. So you're causing more problems by not following the rules in some cases. So the other thing is some areas take foam, some don't. So just check the rules. And actually here at the Michigan Recycling Coalition, we're piloting a educational flyer. It's digital-based, and we're showing it to the educators and hoping that this is something they can replicate in their own communities. It has the Michigan the Recycle Michigan logo on there, but each community can upload their own logo. This is something produced by Resource Recycling Systems that we're offering to create this unity, to make that education easy for every community within Michigan so they can put their particular materials, they can edit the flyer or the sticker, and they can upload their own contact information.
You've looked at recycling programs all over the United States, not just here in Michigan. Mm-hmm. I mean, what would you say to our listeners out there in terms of your view of the future of the recycling industry and recycling in general?
Well, I think the future is very bright, and this is not something that's going to go away. This is part of our culture. This is who we are. The infrastructure has been set, and it's just a matter of we need to get everybody on board. We need to get everyone recycling and doing their part and recycling right, and the future is, you know, we always hope for a zero-waste future, but if everyone does their part, then we will get there.
Well, just another great interview from the Michigan Recycling Coalition's annual conference. I've been talking with Marissa Segundo. She is a communications consultant for RRS based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Marissa, thanks so much for being on Greening of the Great Lakes.
Thank you for having me.
This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Kirk Heinze is broadcasting Greening of the Great Lakes from the Governor's Recycling Summit and Michigan Recycling Coalition Annual Conference.
Well, Russ and I were recently at the annual Governor's Recycling Summit and Michigan Recycling Coalition Annual Conference down in Plymouth, Michigan. We're talking recycling with a number of folks, one of whom, Katie Fahey, is a program administrator for the Michigan Recycling Coalition. Katie, good to have you. We had you on the program maybe about a year ago. You were one of the young, outstanding environmental leaders for WEMEAC, the West Michigan Environmental Action Council. So welcome back to the program.
Yeah, I was. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, now you're working with the Michigan Recycling Coalition, and I know you're passionate about recycling and things environmental, but we've got a few minutes here. Let's talk about Recycle Michigan, the program that was a spinoff, I believe, of the governor's recycling plan.
Yeah, so the Michigan Recycling Coalition realized that we really needed a statewide effort to promote recycling because it does so many good things for our state. It helps the economy. It helps us preserve our natural resources. And so we thought, how do we create a message that can go to all communities across Michigan? So Recycle Michigan really should be every single city, every single township that we have in Michigan, which is why on the sign, it has the population of Michigan on it, because we should all be a part of Recycle Michigan.
Well, the governor's recycling plan, it starts out with a little historical perspective, but because of the bottle bill and some of the things that were done as far back as the Milliken administration, Michigan was an environmental and recycling leader back in the 70s, but then things dropped off a little bit.
Yeah, we hadn't seen any additional funding from the government since the bottle bill, actually. And so 2 years ago, we were able to get funding for the general fund, $1 million from the governor to be actually applied to recycling for the first time since then. So the bottle bill was great. It helped us, you know, get a lot more recycling. We recycle, we're the highest percentage of recycling in the entire country for bottles and cans, but everything else, we're actually below the 50% mark for Michigan. We're one of the worst recycling states. And so how do we raise that together, and how do we all start getting all of that material? Because we need paper and things that aren't just bottles and cans with carbonation in them. So this was trying to kind of help people realize that we want to keep our Michigan pride throughout our recycling program, not just with cans.
Well, one of the goals of the plan is to increase the number of communities that have recycling programs. And I think the number eventually is to get up to, all 82 counties in Michigan. But how are we doing in terms of increasing these county participation in recycling programs?
Yeah, so there was a goal set to try and double the Michigan recycling rate. Progress has been made. I think there's going to be a new measurement report coming out. But we did show that we're kind of still around that 15% mark of 15% of communities within Michigan having programs, which is not enough. It's not nearly enough. So we're really hoping to get up to that 30%. We'll have to see what kind of progress we have made. But we're really hoping that with the Recycle Michigan campaign, those smaller communities who maybe are just starting to get programs can have more marketing materials, can have more tools and resources so that if they don't have their own graphic designer, they can tie into this other campaign to show that this is more than just us. And it takes all of us. If just one person recycles, you're still going to have litter on the road. You're still going to be missing all of these resources. So when we all come together, when every county has representation, that's when progress starts to be made.
We're talking Recycle Michigan with Katie Fahey, who's the program administrator for the Michigan Recycling Coalition. Where can folks get more information? And listeners out there, okay, that sounds like a wonderful program. I'd like to know more about Recycle Michigan. Where do I go to get some information?
Yes, so you can go directly to our website. It's www.michiganrecycles.org. And we actually just started a program with the state parks, the DNR, and we have a You Are Here program, and we'll have a bunch of state park information. So this summer, when you're visiting all of our beautiful locations across Michigan, you can figure out where you can recycle and what you can recycle.
One thing I gather about Recycle Michigan, you mentioned the state parks, so that would be a partnership with the Department of Natural Resources. I know you're working with the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, which is the grand sponsor of this conference, but other agencies as well. There's a lot of collaboration going on with Recycle Michigan.
Yeah, we just actually launched our partnership program. So businesses, cities, communities, nonprofits, even your home can all join our Recycle Michigan Partner Program, which means that you have somebody who's taking care of recycling, who's making sure you're continuously growing your program, making sure that you're continuously adding materials and you can come to us for resources and that you want to help spread recycling across Michigan. There's more resources for that, too, on our website that just got launched.
Katie, we just got about a minute left here, but for our listeners out there who may be thinking, you know, we need to do more in our community with recycling. We don't have a program in our county. What can our listeners do specifically to get these programs established in their communities?
I think the biggest thing is if you don't currently have a program, ask your local government why not. And if they don't know anything about it, then bring information. If you need information, contact us at the Michigan Recycling Coalition. But it really takes public interest. That's the number one thing. And the best way to get affordable pricing for your community is for you to come together and to try and get a program started. And so it really takes all of us being interested, because if the demand is there, recycling will happen.
Well, the program is Recycle Michigan. I've been talking with Katie Fahey, who is the program administrator for the Michigan Recycling Coalition. Katie, not only good to see you on the program, but good to have you back again.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. It was great to be here.
This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Kirk Heinze is broadcasting Greening of the Great Lakes from the Governor's Recycling Summit and Michigan Recycling Coalition Annual Conference.
Well, back with us again is Diamond-sponsored and Sterling Heights-based Rizzo Environmental Services. Have always been a major supporter of the Governor's Recycling Summit and MRC Annual Conference. It is Michigan's largest privately-owned family-based waste and recycling firm. With us again, good to see you again, Mary Jo Van Natter, who is the Senior Municipal Sales Executive for Rizzo Environmental Services. Hello, Mary Jo.
Hi, how are you? Nice to see you both again.
Boy, another exciting conference, over 400 or 500 people here. It's got to get you excited every year when the folks in the industry come together to talk about the newest initiatives and technologies.
Absolutely. It's been my focus for 30 years, so I'm a long-term member and board member in the past as well. So love it. Love being here. Thank you.
Well, I know that when we talked a couple years ago, Rizzo Environmental Services was continuing to grow. It's been a couple of years now. Tell us a little bit, remind our listeners a little bit about the company and some of the recent initiatives and successes you've had.
Thank you. Yes, we're We're headquartered here in Michigan, of course. We're the largest recycling and waste hauler in Southeast Michigan now. We have probably, I think we're up to 50 cities and villages and townships. We are an unusual hauler because we don't own a landfill, and our focus is really on recycling. We have, recently acquired four companies on recycling, Royal Oak Recycling, Nelson. There's one in Kalamazoo, Serial City. And we're opening a plant in Pontiac, the former Fiero plant. The future is for that, a transfer station currently, but within the next few years, we're hoping to open a single stream so we can process our material for these various communities. We're currently recycling about 6,000 tons a month of single stream. All of our contracts that we are acquiring and winning the bids, it's been our focus to really move them from the 18-gallon bin to a cart. And it helps with blight. On a windy day, it diminishes any litter. And it's also easier for the resident to wheel it down. And we found that there's about a 20% increase in recycling for these various communities. So that's been a big push for us. We also have been largely implementing 96-gallon carts for the trash. Cities are trying to, with rodents and things like that, keep that out of their communities. So that's a big push. We're saving communities money and also expanding their services by going from the smaller to the larger carts. The savings for these communities is about 5 to 10% annually, and over a 5 or 8 year contract, this is a real substantial savings. So We're getting larger contracts for these communities and cities because it allows for their budgeting, okay? So that's another thing, that these communities are still recovering from the tax base being diminished. And so we're providing more for less for them and also increasing their service. One of the things I do want to speak about is Detroit. Detroit has done an incredible cleanup. I think we're in our second year of that contract now. And at the onset of that, we put 100 trucks in prior to the contract even starting to pick up the compost and the blight and the bulk. And so we've done a bang-up job in Detroit as far as that. We have the former DPW director, Al Jordan, who's an incredible guy. He's very proactive, daily goes sweeps through the city and make sure everything is done. And so all of our trucks and our supervisors really have given our communities personal service. And that's been a real success for us. So that's my, I think our key is our personal service. So thank you.
You mentioned single stream recycling. At long last now, our provider is now providing single stream. And I have two daughters and son-in-law who all have the availability where they live. But what's amazing to me, and a lot of people I've talked to, you could throw all of this stuff together in one cart, or one bin, and it goes to your plant. The technology to separate this stuff out must be incredible.
It is. It's primarily, there's several companies that have the systems. Bolergraf is one out of the Netherlands that I'm familiar with. I ran the two plants, one in Roseville and the new Boston plant, so I'm very familiar with the systems. And basically, the fiber goes one way, the containers go another way, the metal cans are in an eddy current, they collect them and separate them. And single stream has allowed the hauler a big savings because years ago they had compartmentalized trucks. And so the fuel and the usage of the drivers was very labor intensive. So by going to a single stream, it saves that there. Okay. Now, with single stream, and there's been an increase in contamination, I can tell you that, from when it started. We were the fourth in the country to put a single stream in Michigan, and it was in Roseville. And so back then, we only accepted 1 and 2 plastics. It was more limited. Now it's 1 through 7 plastics. And so the contamination, people are more inclined to put in what's not supposed to go in the bin. So that's a problem at the MRFs today, a little bit more contamination. But it's still the best way to go. It's keeping it out of the landfill. It's saving our natural resources, our water, just all around. It's the right thing to do.
I've asked several guests the same question, but I want to get your take on it as well. I mean, we are here at the Michigan Recycling Coalition annual conference. For people who want to see more recycling in their communities, I mean, communities are governed by different boards, and some people are more progressive than others with respect to this sort of thing. What can individual homeowners do to make sure that there are more recycling opportunities in their communities?
Go to the council meeting. Send an email to your mayor. It's very simple today to just – you go on your community's website. Almost every community I know has through every council member and mayor, all you have to do is click on and send them a little note. We're really interested in curbside recycling and why you need it, okay? And they'll listen. But most people just expect that their community leaders are going to speak for them. Well – sometimes it's not in the budget, you know, and it's all about fiscally whether they can afford it, you know. So it's been my experiences. Now we have to get, if you really want something, rally and get some people to help you, you know, in your community.
Mary Jo, we've got about a minute left, but sure. your comments, too, on the governor's recycling plan and the support now from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. It looks like the state now, at least from a political and policy standpoint, is putting some resources behind recycling.
Right. Well, that was initiative of Governor Snyder, and I take my hat off to him for that. Because prior to that, I've been on this board for 6 years, but a member for 20. And we had no fiscal backing. I mean, it was all what we could do. And we're just a coalition that is interested in doing the right thing. But, yes, we need to make these communities more responsible by giving their numbers of solid waste, compost, and recycling. And I think that my feeling is each county, like Mary Van Giesen does for Wayne County, she's got a great system that you at the end of your year, you give your numbers. And then Wayne County has every city and their data. And I think that's part of the thing. We need to get a baseline, and then from the baseline, we can always increase. That's how we can benchmark what we're doing here in Michigan. So thanks for that. That was a good question. I appreciate it.
Well, Mary Jo, congratulations on the success that Rizzo Environmental Services is continuing to have. It's a pleasure to see you again. My guest has been Mary Jo Van Natter. She's the Senior Municipal Sales Executive for Rizzo Environmental Services.
That was Dr. Kirk Heinze with a sustainability-focused Greening of the Great Lakes segment inside MSU Today here on AM 870 WKAR. To read Kirk's blog and hear more Greening of the Great Lakes content, visit mlive.com/environment. AM 870 WKAR. Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. To hear the show again, click on the radio tab at WKAR.org and scroll to MSU Today every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock on AM 870 WKAR.